Get ready, it's time. Motherhood Talk Radio, starring Sandra Beck, is the most powerful voice in women's issues today. As the owner of Motherhood Incorporated, Sandra brings you inspiring, influential, and interesting resources to help you navigate everything from childcare to corporate formation. Each episode of Motherhood Talk Radio features guests who all have a story, experts in their field, and information you won't want to miss. We bring you everything from the latest crafting tips to how to be sexy in your 40s, from great parenting tips to moms facing some tough challenges, and most importantly, how to bounce back with style. Motherhood Talk Radio helps you make a difference in your world and the world around us. Being all you can be starts right here, right now. Let's do it. Here's your host, Sandra Beck.
Hey everybody, this is Sandra Beck and I'm so excited to be here today because we are going to visit with Dr. Andrew Whitman and we're going to talk about the weight loss mindset. Because if you guys are like me, you're still hanging on to those COVID pounds. Yeah, I know it's 2024. COVID started in 2020, ended up in 2022. I am still battling and I blame COVID because my kids are grown and I can't blame them anymore. But I really get frustrated looking at the scale because it goes up and down and I know it's probably menopause and hormones, but all this stuff plays with my head and then I'm like, why even bother? And then I go down and I eat whatever I want and I just make the situation worse. So I'm so excited to talk with Dr. Andrew Whitman today about weight loss, pound loss, fat loss, muscle tone, just being a better me. Andy, welcome to the show. And you have something to say about the scale.
So I don't like the scale. So that would be my first thing when we're talking about this is don't worry about the scale so much, because what happens is if you're looking at the scale and it you know, some say it's down one day, you're like, oh, that's awesome. So you emotionally you're up and you're like, I could cheat because the scale's down, right? But then it could just be some crazy hydration thing or whatever at the time of day. And then you get on it the next day and then you're like way high. And then you're emotionally, you're down here and then you feel awful and then you cheat because
right.
I feel bad. There's no, right. So just put the scale away would be the first thing I was like, I had a client that she would be on this emotional roller coaster. I said, just give me the scale. I took the scale from her and put it in my house. And I'm like, just do the process for 6 months and then we'll look at the scale. But don't worry about what the scale says for 6 months. Just do the things that we're, you know, that we know are to do are right. And they're not hard. We don't have to do like CrossFit or whatever. If you just sleep first off 8 hours a day, 6 to 8, I know people like, Andrew, that's crazy. You can't get 8, but you could get 6. And even if you don't get it in one time, right, Sandra, you could take a nap. Because I know people don't know this, but did you know in this country before the Industrial Revolution, we used to have 2 sleeps? We didn't sleep for 8 hours. That's like that's because of shifts. Yeah. Because of industrialization. Yeah. So what would happen when it got dark? Cause we didn't have like lights and stuff and you had to, you would go to sleep and then you would get up and have your midnight snack at midnight because you would fire up the wood stove so there would be heat in the house, little house on the prairie, right? And then go back to sleep after you were up for a couple hours and you would have your second sleep. So you don't have to get 8 or 6 all at one time.
Well, and I will tell you, part of, you know, like I had cancer treatments over the last 18 months. And one of my things that I used to do at 4 o'clock, I used to have a Diet Coke and, you know, candy bar.
I remember those days. That was before spin class, though.
Yes, my crazy Diet Coke days. And, you know, nothing, no disrespect to Diet Coke, but what I had to trade it to because I couldn't do my spin classes anymore. I could go in the garage and spin, but I wasn't teaching during COVID. Mm. You know what I did? I did the exact opposite. I took a nap. So like at 4 o'clock when I was really low and, you know, dragging down and I'm like, what if I scheduled, because we're working from home, what if I scheduled like an hour rest period in between like my calls and my shows, and I would scoot out to the living room, cover myself up with a blanket, and I would set my alarm on my phone. I would take a 35, 45, 20, whatever my body needed nap, and I had my alarm in case I overslept. But what a difference, and what a better thing to put in my body than to force it with chemicals or even force it through exercise, because I think my body's way of telling me, okay, Sam, slow down.
Right. And we need to listen to that. And there's good science behind this of taking those naps that actually increases your cognitive processing. It lowers the cortisol levels, right? and it balances your hormone. Because a lot of with weight loss, people think it's like calories in, calories out. It's really more hormonal nutrition. If you, because I always say this on the, you can't fight your biology.
Right.
If you're stressed all the time and cortisol levels are up, it's going, you can't fight that no matter how hard you try to diet and exercise. And like you just said, the more that you exercise when your cortisol levels up, you're actually putting more stressors on your adrenal glands. So you're making it worse.
Yeah.
So you, so you got to get your rest. That's the first baseline level and start tracking that. Like I, before, and I've had several clients that, you know, like, I mean, like 100 pound, 150 pound losses, they would come to me, right? So wait, we got to slow down with this. A lot of this out that we, I would say our eyes are bigger than our stomach. We try to do this crazy workout and diet and make all these big changes and you can't do it for more than 2 days. So then you quit. So the first, right? So let's just get your sleep cycle. How about for the first 2 weeks, let's just keep a sleep log and just see how much sleep we're actually getting. That's your only thing that you have to do is track your sleep.
Well, and I will tell you, I even messed that up, Andy, in the beginning, because that was part of my cancer treatments, because they're like, laying in bed on your phone is not considered sleep.
That's not right. That's
not sleep. Waking up at, you know, 5 a.m. and reading my Bible or reading my, you know, things for the day is not sleep. Like I was not in bed. Sleep. And so I ended up getting myself this Apple Watch, you know, a fitness watch.
Yeah.
And I was horrified. My real sleep time was 4 to 5 hours. Like, no wonder I'm sick. No wonder I'm tired.
Yes. So I got mine too. And there's even some that there's one out that does a ring.
Oh yeah.
So if you don't like the watch, so you can track your, I'm looking at, you know, I'm researching that out right now. Just
cool.
Hit the market, but there's lots of ways to track your sleep. There's different apps and different ways, but that would be my first thing. If you have any kind of weight loss goals, the first thing I want to do is check my sleep levels. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then the next thing is how much water are you drinking?
Yep.
Like not coffee and soda and apple juice or just water. Like you got to get your water intake.
A clean hydration.
Like, yes, because that's what's good. Because all these other things that you drink, there are toxins that your kidneys and your liver filter out, and then it traps in your fat cells. So what happens is when you first, that's why somebody that tries to do a keto diet or whatever, they had that keto flu is what they call it. But what happens is when your body starts breaking down those fat cells, those toxins are released, and that's what makes you feel sick.
Andy, I'm just going to jump in here for a second because now is a great time to thank our sponsor. And our sponsor today is the Row Body Program. That's ro.co/motherhood. If you want to look at the benefits that you have from listening today and seeing what they're offering as part of our sponsor. And Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. And the Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. And did you know that over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight? And you can sign up online, go to the Row Body Program. That's ro.co/motherhood from the comfort of your own home. And this means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting room. Now, I have tried the GLP-1 medications and I lost 20 pounds in 5 months, and that was great. I mean, the weight loss shots really helped me. But what I had to do along with it was change the amount I was eating. I added more protein. I tried to snack less. I reduced my sugar. I didn't get rid of it completely, but I reduced it. And then I started walking in the park with friends. And you know, I wish Row Body had been around when I started my weight loss journey, but you can take advantage of it right now. So go to ro.co/motherhood, sign up today, and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Now, medication and costs are separate. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply, and average weight loss is 15 to 20% in one calendar year. That's ro.co/motherhood, ro.co/motherhood. Go check it out. Those medications worked great for me. They made such a difference. And, you know, it's so frustrating, Andy, losing weight. And, you know, we have a couple different sugar seasons. You know, we have sugar season that starts in November and goes through December, you know, with all the holiday things. Then we hit another sugar season with Valentine's Day and Easter or Passover, whatever you celebrate. You know, there's so much junk that we put in our body. And I really have a hard time saying no because I'm an emotional eater. And to be honest, it makes me feel better. Like it works. So I do it, but the pounds come on because I'm eating so much junk.
Right. So all the cruddy food and drinks that you've been drinking. So we want to flush that as much as possible. Flush out your system with a lot of good, clean water.
Right. That's so simple. Like, I mean, you know, when I was looking at the, you know, kind of this, like, oh, this is your cancer diet. This is your cancer thing. And I'm reading it and I'm like, sleep. I can do that. Water. Yeah. I thought it was going to be this big, crazy thing. And to look at it was just, and it made me think of, you know, how when you see, like, when it's football season and you know it's a rookie quarterback because he's like, we're playing solid fundamental football. Like, that's like what it made me think of. It's like, oh my God, this is solid fundamental living.
Correct. And there's none of this is, like I say, it's not rocket surgery, like I like to say, or brain science. But no, it really is brain science. But yeah, if you just do these simple things, and a lot of times we overthink these things because we're like, no way could it be that simple.
Right.
But it is.
But it is.
Right. Right. So you get those two things down. And then on nutrition, there's so many crazy things out there. You could read until, and I've read all the stuff, and I mean, I was a personal trainer for a while, so I was into it, but I'm also a hobbyist. I want to know kind of how to manipulate. But listen, there's no human on the planet that doesn't know when you're reaching for something, whether that's good for you or not. No one needs to tell you, right, that a donut is not good for you compared to a carrot stick.
Right, right. Well, and I ended up like having to trick myself with some of the stuff that, you know, they recommended that I eat, like, you know, 4 to 6 cups of green leafy something, like spinach. Right. And truly by the second month, I'm like, I cannot eat another one of these. So I started grinding up those suckers. Like, I literally just put water, a little lemon juice, and then I stuck them in my blender and ground them up and I shot it like booze. And I'm like, if I can shoot booze, like, I don't drink and I haven't for 20 years, but when I did, I could take a shot. So I'm like, so now I have, like, and the kids laugh at me because they're like, they call it my vegetable shots because I put it in there, I grind it up and I shoot it. Though I will say, the first thing I did after the first one, I actually threw it up in the sink, and the kids will never let me forget it.
Oh, that's so funny. It's just like when you were in college.
Yep.
Shotgun and beers.
Yep, shotgun and beers. So now I shotgun vegetables.
Now, let me ask you this, because I'm always curious. You don't have to answer this, but I'm always from the first day when you threw it up to, like, after you started, like, what was your reaction now after you did it for, like, you know, 12 months or whatever?
I think it was just more the concept of, like, this is so weird. And it was kind of a little thick, like, I need to have a little more liquid to it. I think it was the texture thing, but I realized, like, cause I'm a kind of speedy Gonzalez go through my day girl. So to sit down and quietly munch on a salad isn't going to work for me, but shooting back a bunch of vegetables did. So it was just getting my mindset around it. And I'm like, do I want to take a handful of pills or do I want to take a slurp of a bunch of vegetables? Like, that to me, like, once I got my mind around it and I realized, like, it was just weird. Like, all this stuff going in just, like, came right out.
Right. But now, literally, is it cool now? You're totally cool. Like, let me ask you, I mean, I don't know, but, like, so what I'm just liking it to what I, you know, when I first was in the Marine Corps, like, I was on ship and we were in the South China Sea and they desalinate the water on the ship from the ocean water. And they desalinate it through the diesel engines and then they mix it with bleach. So the water tasted like diesel and bleach. So I was like, that's nasty. I'm going to drink the black coffee, which is also nasty. But what happened, right? So pick your poison. But what happened was, like, you know, here I am, like, 38 years later and I love black coffee. Yeah. Like, I've acquired that taste. Like, well, my body's trained to like it.
I do think our taste buds change. Now, one of the things that I did with my clean hydration is I don't think I've had a glass of orange juice or apple juice or any processed anything in 2 years. I mean, other than maybe a Diet Coke every now and then, but that's a treat.
Yeah. A treat, right.
Not a, like, you know,
not a cheat. Listen, I don't like to use, I don't have cheat days because that has a negative connotation. Like, I'm being unfaithful.
Yeah,
I will schedule treats because it's reward. So I'm not saying not to do anything. Like, yeah, I would have those Diet Coke treats. I have treat days. I never have cheat days, though. It sounds like semantics, but it's not.
It's a big deal because when you live a clean, authentic life, the concept of cheating, whatever you do, is not okay with me. And I know it's just a word, but it says to me that I'm knowingly doing something I shouldn't. So that's not okay with me. So I'm knowingly doing a reward because I earned it. Very, very different, you know, only a word, but very different.
Yes.
And I think it resonates differently in your body. And when you talk 100%. About, you know, you talked about your taste changing. One of the things that I noticed when I stopped some of the things that I was doing, they don't taste good anymore.
Correct. And that
was really like my taste buds changed, everything in my physiology changed. And I think as I made an investment in my health, because that's what I talk about, like we maintain our cars, we maintain our kids, but as parents, do we maintain ourselves? And in some ways it was a little more work and a little more expense because I couldn't just use a coupon on the drive-through and feed three people for $15 with a bunch of garbage and then come out. So there were a couple of days that I was like, oh, don't want to do this. This is frustrating. But like anything, it became routine. And I don't even think it took, what do they say? It takes 28 days to make a new habit. I think it makes more, you got to have a sit down with yourself and make a decision. Because once I make a decision, that's what I'm sticking to. It's not 28 days.
Right. And I always say this when I'm doing my corporate trainings, that it only takes one time to make a habit because we're creatures of comfort. So let's say I was doing a 2-day training, like, because I do 2-day trainings a lot, and you were in my class for the first day and you found a seat and you parked in it. Where are you going to sit on day two?
Sure. Same seat.
Right. So the habit is already formed after one time. So it's the faster you can make yourself comfortable doing something, the faster it's a habit. Just like the same place you park your car at, you know, say you got a new job or whatever, you parked your car there. You're going to go back to that parking spot the next day because you know it's there. It's comfortable. You don't have to search around. And then pretty soon you're mad because somebody parked in your parking spot, even though it's not your spot. Right. So the habit thing, as soon as you're comfortable, because we're creatures of habit and comfort, we love comfort as a human. So I want to point that in the direction that helps me. So a lot of with weight loss, we try to stop bad habits. That's not going to work, right? Because that's not what, but it's easy to create a habit. It's hard to break one. So what I want to do is just create new habits that replace the old ones, just like with the taste buds.
Well, and I will tell you some weird, funny things happened when I started grinding up vegetables, and I knew what to grind up. Like I learned, do not put a bunch of broccoli in there. Like that was not a good move, but I did. You know, I still do 6 cups of spinach a day because I seem to like it. It's great with my body. But the weird thing that happened when I started doing those, like I call them spinach bombs. They're like, you know, throw it in there, bomb it back. I do my spinach bomb in the morning. It reduces cravings. It makes you feel fuller. Like all this weird magic stuff started to happen. My sugar cravings went away. And if I had just been focusing on do not have sugar and, you know, do not have the, you know what I mean? Like focusing on the wrong thing. I'm like, all right,
correct.
I'm going to commit. And I remember the week I did this, Andy, I'm like, I'm going to commit to three spinach bombs a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just throw them in and see what happens. And I'm like, oh, I had a good lunch. I didn't overeat. I wasn't hungry, crazy hungry at dinner. I did my spin class. I did taught a spin class and a yoga class one night. And I came back and I had a reasonable dinner. Now, old San would have been like Hoover hitting that refrigerator after doing like 170 minutes of exercise.
Right.
So what happened?
Well, you change your hormones because you put the different chemicals in your body. And that's what people don't realize with nutrition. You're literally, every food that you eat is no different than ingesting a set of compounds and drugs and chemicals. They do, and it creates certain reactions, which I said is hormonal nutrition, right? So processed sugar is, I mean, I haven't had processed sugar in, I don't know, over 2.5 years because you can't force me to take it. It's like, it would be like shooting heroin to me.
Right.
Like literally, I know what processed sugar does to your brain. I'm like, I'm a Kool-Aid drinker on the sugar is poison for me, not for you or anybody else. I don't, you know, if my kids eat Oreos, whatever, I don't. But for me, because I know what it does to my brain and how it reacts with the neurotransmitters and all that crazy stuff, you know, and creates more cravings and more, and it's a downward spiral. I won't. And because I have an addictive personality, which I know you already know this, but I will actually, like, once I start down a path, that's why I won't drink. People are like, you don't drink for religious. I'm like, no, because I know if I drink one, I will drink everyone under the table.
I will be the, there's a reason, Andy, they called me Iron Gut in college because I can drink. I'll go up ahead of you. I will drink you under the table because I don't have that stop mechanism that other people have. And I think that's what you're talking about. I don't drink because I don't stop. You don't drink because you don't stop.
Right. And I don't eat sugar because I don't stop. That's why I do fasting, because when I eat, I am like a Hoover. So I only eat one time a day and I'll take in all like 2000 calories of my daily at that one sitting. Otherwise, if I do three, I'll eat 6,000 calories in a day. Right. And because I know myself, that's I put these stop gaps, you know, in place so that I'm helping myself with my habit and my addiction. So I pointed my addictive behavior towards fasting. That's how that started like 10 years ago, instead of towards binge eating. Mm-hmm. Does that make so? I want to replace these bad habits with the good ones that take me where I want to go.
Well, and what you're talking about, you know, there's a great book out there called Guardrails, and talks about, you know, we put guardrails up in our life, you know, spiritually speaking. Well, guardrails exist on the freeways out here in California, so people don't whip off the mountain. So when I read that guardrails book for spirituality and, you know, how God puts guardrails in our lives to keep us on track, I realized, oh my gosh, I need to do that in my kitchen. Like I need to do that in my office, because like a perfect example, I moved my dad back in with me. He was back east for 3 months and I went to the grocery store. I avoided all of the aisles with the junk because I don't want my dad having it, all my kids having it, but more importantly, I don't want me having it. If those cookies are in my fridge, they will call my name 24/7.
100%. They will. Just, like, soon we're here. The middle of the night.
Don't forget us. We love you.
When we have Oreos, my kids call it doing a line. Because you know those sleeves of Oreos? I would do an entire sleeve. I can't have one. Or I would be like, Dad's doing a line of Oreos. So I'm like, get them out of the house. You know,
it's true.
Mm-hmm. So because people have been like, well, you don't even get tempted. I'm like, wrong. But I don't set myself up for failure. I don't even buy it. So I can't go get it in the middle of the night.
Well, and I think, you know, I want to like debunk some of this stuff, because the one thing that I hear a lot when we do these fitness shows, and especially it's from moms, they're like, I don't want to deprive my kids. I don't want to, my husband wants this. I'm like, who's in charge of the kitchen? You or everybody else? And you know what? If you really want a dessert, or you really want, you know, a candy bar or something, take the whole family out to the ice cream parlor, make it an event, make it a whole thing,
correct,
but don't 100%. Put it in your fridge, because that's not a ritual. You know, all of these things, like having tea, you know, for thousands of years was a ritual.
Yes.
Dessert, going out for the ice cream cone. When I was growing up, we went to Scoops. The whole family went. We checked in. Everybody got
treat the ice cone. Yes. Like,
you know, and it was a whole family thing. And I think what's happened now with the convenience of all this stuff, dessert becomes a nightly thing. Cookies become a daily thing. Like,
where
it's like when Snoopy went on digital, I'm like, oh my gosh, we used to wait for Snoopy to come on, you know, like the Snoopy.
Right.
Like Easter special, or we knew it was Christmas because the Christmas special was coming. Well, then it goes on digital and you can watch, you know, my kids watch the Easter Beagle like 100 times.
Right.
And it loses its uniqueness, its specialness, its ritual. So I'm encouraging people to go, if your family wants these things, how do you make it part of a treat, a ritual, something that's a family builder, not a weight builder?
Right. And make it as you're building them. So you're building a memory every time we go out and do this special thing.
Yes.
And then you're also training them as they go in life to not be obese and have these. So they won't be addicted to the sugar. We know it's addictive. It's not, so go ahead. You can have the treat. But if you have to have it every day, this is like in this day and age, like no kidding. Like I love ice cream.
Oh, who doesn't?
Right. So, but there's so many options that have stevia or natural, you know, different, you know, monk fruit. I don't have to have bad ice cream. And there's brands. I mean, you can walk. Yeah, they're a little more expensive. That's why it's a treat. But you can have my ice cream without having the processed sugar.
Sure.
Like there's a ton of brands now. And I mean, they're in Walmart, for crying out. It used to be you had to go to like Whole Foods to get them.
Right, to get
them. Now they're in Walmart. Right.
But I get that. Like, because we're big Halo users in our house. And, but at the end of the day, I guess I want to go back to the purity of why are you having that sweet thing? Like, are you having it because you're frustrated? Are you having it because you're angry?
Right.
Are you having it because you are lonely? Like, having these things, even though they're sugar-free, they're not fixing the core problem.
No, correct.
Family is not getting together, which a lot of families don't. And I have this problem. I've got, you know, Max is off at UCSB, you know, Zach is going to dance or volleyball, you know, everybody's going every which way. If you can't have a family meal together, which isn't always possible if your kids are in activities, can you have a family dessert? Can you go out on Friday night for ice cream cones? Can you combine that need for a treat to make it truly something that's building families, building relationships, instead of me eating an ice cream cone, watching Friends for the 50th time, maybe I call up Friends and go out with friends.
And have, it's right, instead of watching people have friends. No, I'm with you. A couple of weeks ago, Michaela, my daughter, she's a senior in high school now, but last year they won the lacrosse state championship.
Nice.
So, so this year was the football game, their big rival at halftime. They're going to get their rings presented to them. So, of course, you know, my youngest son, he's the middle son. He's a senior at the Citadel. He's in college.
Right.
My oldest son, you know, he's running a pharmaceutical company. He bought a company and is running it down in Florida. All five of us are spread out all over. But we came together that Friday night to see Michaela get her ring. And then afterwards, we just all went home and it was the five of us. Like, it was like Christmas morning. And I was just sitting there. And then the next morning we had breakfast together. And I was just sitting at the table, just enjoying every second of it, because I'm like, all five of us are under the roof at one time. This never happens anymore. Was that we're adults and everybody's off and running. But so every chance that you get every chance that you get to be together, you should take it and make a memory out of it. Not a bad one.
That's right. You know, and having bags of chips around so people can take when they want. Like, that's the thing about convenience foods and convenient.
Yeah,
they're convenient. But only in the moment, like in the
too convenient.
Right. What are they doing as a family? So if your kids like go in like mine and they mow through the kitchen at different hours and my dad's in there rooting around. And the amazing thing happens too. This was the other thing that I started doing, you know, during my treatments, because it was just so fun. I'm like, okay, boys are hungry. I get it. You know, they're hollow legs. But what would happen if I just put out a fruit platter with some cheese and salami? And I didn't tell anybody.
You just put it out there.
Yep. I just sat it. Like, I have a big, it looks like a sacrificial altar. It's like an 8x4 granite center island. So I just put fresh, healthy stuff out there, hummus and carrots and celery, and I went about my day. And every time I walked by, like, ooh, the hummus is gone. Oh, somebody ate all the carrots. Now, if any of those three people that live in my house, my dad and my two boys, had to open the refrigerator and
not happening. Themselves. Right.
Never. You know, never. But it was right there in front of them. So now what I do about 3:00, I hop out of my office. I put a bunch of cut up apples or cut up whatever, you know, it's going to be for the day. And I throw it on the counter and I just leave it there and they can graze happily and they fill themselves up, but they're not going to grab a bag of chips. They're not going to grab ice cream, because that's what we do when stuff's not prepared for us.
Correct. And that's the key right there, is like making healthy stuff convenient. And I hear this all the time too. You kind of mentioned a little bit, but people say it's so expensive to eat healthy, but it's really not. Because if you go get a bag of carrots, they cost less than a bag of chips. And they're like, it's a pound of carrots and like 12 ounces or 10 ounces of chips, which are completely empty calories.
Yeah, flattened down in your tummy. They don't fill you up. There's no fiber. But I can tell you, a typical bag of chips out here is $4.39 in Southern California. And I paid for my 2-pound bag of carrots, $2.39. We also pay $4.50 a gallon for gas. So I'm not going to be running to the market every which way. And so when you make these decisions, I think the reason people say it's so expensive to eat healthy is because they throw out all the healthy food and eat the junk.
Yeah, it must be, because we got an air fryer, and Jack, my son that's at the Citadel, he's like a little chef. So we got this air fryer over the summer. He knows I love cauliflower. So he would go get bags, like they're literally like 89 cents for a bag. And he would put some like olive oil on and some seasoning, put it in the air fryer for like 10 minutes or whatever, and then bring me like this bowl of air fried cauliflower. So there's your chips.
Delicious. Yeah.
Like 89 cents in 10 minutes. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, this is so awesome.
I'm going to be buried with my Nutribullet and my air fryer. None of those products have paid to be on the show today, but that Nutribullet can grind up like bolts if it had to. That thing is so strong.
Yeah.
And the air fryer, between the two of them, you can make soups, you can make everything. And truly, Andy, how hard is it to pour a bag in and push a button?
Ridiculously easy. I mean, it was like, and he didn't even like drizzle olive oil. He got like the spray olive oil, Pam. And he's like, shh. And then he puts whatever the seasoning, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the name of it is, but it's some like Super James or Magic James. I don't know.
Whatever it is, some spice mix.
Whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but he did. I was like, dude, this is so good. I mean, it's literally like, and then you're sitting there at TV. I'm eating a bag of cauliflower that has like the entire bag has 20 calories in it. And it's totally,
nutrients, all the, like, that's the other thing that I noticed, that when I grind up, you know, and sometimes I use baby greens. It depends. Like, you know, I'm not always having spinach, but most of the time it's spinach. Mm-hmm. But one of the weird things that happens, and I'm convinced of this, like when I have, you know, a couple pieces of fruit and my, you know, spinach bombs, and then I eat whatever else left, is, oh my gosh, my body got what it needed.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't pour laundry soap into your gas can in your car. You put high octane whatever for your huge SUV. You know, you're paying all this premium for gas, but you're not putting premium in your body. And that was like one of the 100%. Ahas I had, and how when your body has the correct nutrition, guess what? You sleep better. Your energy is even. Like, all of these other things start to fix.
Yeah, your mood is like better. Magic. Like, you're emotionally, you're not as stressed and you can handle things better. Your cognitive processing is better. All the things.
Right. Tummy's better. Your elimination is better. Like, you name it, it all works. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, today's show is talking about how to, you know, kind of shed some of those pounds that we put on, you know, with the pandemic, because we're coming into, you know, another month and a half. I call it sugar season. I don't call it the holiday season.
Right.
It's sugar season in my house, because everywhere you go, from the church to the temple to the school, it's sugar, sugar everywhere. So how do we, and there's going to be times I'm going to have a few things, like that's just going to happen, but I don't need to compound the problem. So getting ourselves clean, almost like a junkie, you know, so that when we go into a situation, we could have one or two pieces, but I will warn you, it's not going to taste good. Like, your taste buds are going to change when you get clean.
Yeah. You're not going to want it. And that's what happens, is those things that you used to take pleasure in, they're just not even that good anymore. So you end up stopping it because your body, you've retrained your taste buds, as you said, to like, people, I can eat whatever I like. What happened is what I like changed.
Yes.
Like, when I was a kid, I liked cherry Kool-Aid, man. You couldn't pour that stuff down my throat now. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, Kool-Aid. Oh yeah. I'm like, man, I don't want that junk anywhere near me. Right. That's usually what happens when you're an adult. You don't want to drink kid drinks, you know?
Right, right. UN, forget waterboarding. Just get some Kool-Aid and try to get that Kool-Aid into you.
Right? I'll tell you anything you want to know.
I'll tell you anything. Just don't put that in my... And again, we're no disrespect to Kool-Aid. Like, everything has a place in the world. Right. But especially when you're over 50. Like, I turned 50, so I'm like, okay, do I want to spend the next 50 years of my life, you know, putting all these things in my body, or do I want to have like radiant, robust health? And if you're like me and you go 100 miles an hour every day, you got to fuel that body to keep up with you.
Yes. That's another thing. I want to say, there's like two ditches, like you said, with the guardrails. There's the one ditch of where we're binging and then there's the other ditch where you're like this, I want to say like the stoic who like has no enjoyment in life at all, because you're so stove up that you couldn't have a treat at the church. You can't even go and have any kind of social interaction because they serve cookies there. And you know what I mean? Like, we have to keep it in the middle. I call it from ditch to ditch. You don't want to keep whipping the wheel back and forth. You want to stay in the center of the road. Right. So you could moderation in everything except for moderation. Right. You could be as, you know, extreme in your moderation as you want, but you want to keep life between those two guardrails. So you're not like ruining memories. Like, some people, well, I won't have sugar. I would never take the kids to the ice cream. I'm taking them to the ice cream, even if I'm not eating it. I'm going to sit there and we're going to have a great time like I am eating it. you know, like I said the other day, we were all at Michaela's thing and everybody had breakfast. Well, I don't eat breakfast. I eat one meal a day, but I was sitting there with them and we were all talking and they were getting their sausage and pancakes and all the stuff that, you know, mom made for them. But I was sitting at the table with them, not like, well, I can't, I'm not eating breakfast, so I'm not going to be with you. You see what I'm saying? It's like, right. We don't want to be in that other.
We all buckets of crazy with this. And just like a car goes and gets gas when it needs gas, our bodies need to go get food only when it needs food. And so it's entirely okay to sit at a meal and not eat. I mean, that's okay.
I do it all the time.
In some cultures, it's a little difficult, you know, and I'm glad, like, you know, my mom's not alive anymore because she was one of those, like, you know, you got to eat. But I have said to people, like, you know, thank you so much for putting this together. I'm just not hungry. Thank you. I don't give a big lecture about what I'm doing or why. I'm full. I'm sorry. You know, like, I'm not, you know, and I'm not going to put food into my body, but I'm also not going to make it like a big deal.
Correct. 100%. So just have grace about it. Just because you're on a certain, like, has like people that, and this happens with like some of my, you know, the people that would lose the 100 pounds or the 150 pounds, they became very, once they did it, they became very judgmental of everybody else.
Yes.
Very and like, so. No, man, don't, we're not the weight police or the food police or the anything police. I do me, you do you. I don't judge you because you're eating sugar or whatever. Don't judge me because I'm not.
Right.
And we'll get along fine. You know what I mean? So we definitely want to keep it between the guardrails, and we don't want to be extreme or, you know, be jerks about it or judgmental to anybody that doesn't work out where we work out. And there's like whole like subcultures of fitness and nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I could start naming them off, but I don't want to. Right. And both of them. Are you on this diet? Do you do that workout? Are you like, and if you're part of our group, then you're in. And if you're not, then you're not as good as us. And no, man, you know what? I'm happy for anybody that does it. If you just park your car far away at the mall and you use that to walk further, man, good for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that you're doing that. You know, I'm happy for you. You know, do what you can do. Don't worry about it. Run your race, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and that's a, you know, that's a huge thing about, you know, because I'm part of the, you know, the fitness community and, you know, as a fitness instructor, and I see a lot of that. And then when my classes found that every morning I walk in the park, they're like,
what?
You don't run? You don't like, you know, what? And I'm like, you know what? I walk while I return calls because I'm in Southern California. And unless it's windy or the house is on fire, like, you know, if it's too smoky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can walk outside and return my calls. Now, I believe you can do that anywhere if you bundle up. I'm from Buffalo. Correct. I can do it there. So if I can do it in Buffalo and Southern California, but I return my calls, Andy, because I can sit at a desk and return my calls, or I can walk and return my calls.
Yes.
Like,
correct.
What a concept. And I can't tell you how much business I've conducted on my walks in the park.
Oh, I'm constantly walking on the phone. In fact, it's difficult for me. I'm using massive amounts of self-discipline to sit here while I'm talking to you. Because what I did Lee's show a couple of weeks ago, she does Skype without the video. So I could walk and I was pacing all over the place because I was like, all right, I don't have to sit in front of the camera, you know? Yeah. So that's what we, you know, it's, why would you waste the movement time by just sitting when you don't have to? So I'm happy for you if you do that. And I wouldn't get on you for, you know, walking in the park. And you don't have to run if you don't want to run. If you don't want to, hey, man, if you want to get on a rower, like my mother-in-law, she rode like 3 million miles or whatever this last year. She likes to row. I mean, like, that is fantastic. She's in wonderful shape and she enjoys it. So why would you? Well, you don't run or you don't lift weights or, you know, do whatever you want to do. That's the whole point about the fitness. Yeah.
And it's
your life. Do what works for you.
Right. Yeah. Do what works for you. And, you know, shooting vegetables is better for me because you have to look at what your resistance is. Like, what is my resistance for sitting down and eating a salad? And my resistance is, especially during the workday, you know, I've got my kids, I've got my dad, you know, I've got a lot of pressures on me. And everybody says, well, you just need to let some things go. Well, if I let my dad go, you know, blood sugar is going to go through the roof. Like, there's not always the opportunity to let things go. And so it's a compromise between my responsibilities, and my responsibilities, Andy, are not your responsibilities.
Correct. So who am I to say you need to do anything?
Right.
So I would never, when I train this stuff, it's like, you got to find what works for you. Like those spinach bombs, that you made it work for you. And that's what I teach everybody. Find the thing, because you could stick with it if it works for you.
Yeah.
If you have somebody else trying to shove something down, some process, some diet, it's an external factor trying to force it on you, it will never work for you long term. Never. It's got to be something that works for you that you come up with, and you have to make it your own process. And I'll help anybody that wants to come up with their own process. I could give you principles, and sure. But you have to figure out how. You know what I mean? Like, we can't. People, what they come to me. I got to tell you, this is just even spiritually. When I was a pastor, and they would be like, "Oh, I know you hear from God, so could you hear from God for me? Tell me what I need to do. Should I take this job or not? Tell me how I should run my." I'm like, "No, man. I could teach you how you go find how you could connect to the Creator yourself." Yeah. And you, because I don't want to take the responsibility of telling what you should do. I have enough trying to do what I'm supposed to do, you know? So I guess that's kind of this thing with the weight loss. Just be careful of who you be mindful, I should say, of getting in with somebody that tells you this strict, you have to do this or that, or that you feel guilty because you didn't do something a certain way. And you have to find what works for you.
Right.
Because I think that, I think that bondage, and that's what it is. It's a mental and emotional bondage. With all these diets, why people say diets don't work, because you're trying to follow somebody else's plan. You have to follow, take all the good things that would work from you from 50 different plans. That's what I do. I find all the things that work and then throw the things out that don't, and I don't feel bad about
them. Right. Well, and making it work so you can do it, because anything that drives you nuts isn't gonna, you know, if it's too much shopping, like one of these things I read was like daily shopping, like you need to shop your fresh vegetables daily. I'm like, why? They sit in a truck for 2 weeks sometimes.
Right.
You're getting
correct.
Going, what's one day gonna do? But I do know that making it reasonable, and the big thing is it needs to be simple and it needs to be easy. You know, simple means I can prepare simple things, and the things can be easy to get. Because I can't tell you how many of these diet books or diet websites I look at, and they're like, "Yeah, we only use coconut milk." Yeah, okay. Well,
what are you on Gilligan's Island? Are you on Gilligan's Island?
And if coconut milk is at your grocery store, great.
Great.
It's not at mine, and I'm not going to drive 45 minutes. Twice a week to get coconut milk, and I'm certainly not going to press my own.
Right, and this brings up the next thing I would like to. Then you just—that's I'm going to pivot right off that, because springboard, I guess. Just make the best decision that you can. Make the best choice, food wise or nutrition, that you have in front of you.
Right.
Like, so you're at the Christmas party, you know, and there's like an oatmeal cookie and ooey gooey butter cake.
No.
You want something sweet. You already know which is the best choice in front of you would be the oatmeal cookie.
Right.
Right. See what I'm saying? So don't feel bad about it. I made the best choice. The best. Same thing with the coconut milk. If you could only get almond milk, well, it's not as good as coconut milk, or whatever it is. This is your best choice available, and never feel bad that you couldn't see it. Cause that's what we do, is we beat ourselves up, but it's not even available to you. You're beating yourself up over a choice that you can't even make.
Right.
So just make the best choice that's in front of you right now. And if you make a habit of always just making the best, all those choices will add up over time to great results.
Right. Well, and I think that's the thing, is everybody wants results in a week. You know, they want results in a month. You know, I gained 50 pounds, you know, with this baby, and I'm going to take it off in a month. And it's like, well, maybe if you're a celebrity that has a liposuction doctor, a nutritionist,
all those things, none of those things are healthy, the liposuction. If it went on, and this is my rule of thumb, if it took you didn't get the 50 pounds overnight. Let's say it took you a year, that you were in COVID on lockdown. You gained this weight over a year. You have to, it's going to take a year to take it off healthy wise. So however long you put it on, be prepared that it should take you that long to take it off. You didn't get there overnight. It's not going to just wave a magic wand and poof, right? Because it was all little by little you gained this weight. It was this line of Oreo, and then I didn't see any change really. So then I had cheesecake and whatever three nights this week. I mean, I got on a thing where during the COVID, I actually gained like 10 to 15 pounds just because I was eating more of even healthy stuff. And that's another misnomer. Just because something's healthy, you're eating too much of it, your body's going to store it as fat.
That's right.
You'd be like, well, it's still clean. I'm like, yeah, but you used too many, you took in too many calories, even though it was food, it's more than you needed. So your body's going to store it.
Well, and like, let's be honest, you're not going to overdose on celery, carrots, apples.
No, that like, wasn't what I was like. It was it was the organic peanut butter that I'm scraping on the celery. And then I'm like, my goal was to see how much peanut butter I could pile onto a piece of celery, you know, and then still get it in your mouth. It's like, it became like the game. And now, but that peanut butter is high calorie stuff. Yes, it's healthy, but only, you know, I can't eat half a jar and then be like, well, I don't know why I gained weight.
Right.
But it's organic. It was almond butter. Almond butter's good for you. You know, it's like, no, you know, dude, only a little bit of almond butter is good for you. Not half the jar every day.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, it's very easy to do. And our bodies have mechanisms, you know, like when you look at almond butter or any of the nut butters, that's a recent invention. You know, you can't eat, you know, a whole bag of almonds. Like you can slather a whole bag of almonds on celery or bread.
Right.
Like, some of these inventions that we've made, you know, or like apple, like you could drink apple juice till the day is done, but you're not going to eat the 25 apples that it took to make.
It would take, right. And it took all the fiber out, which makes that, which helps us keep the body slowing down that process of the, you know, that's a good sugar, you know, that's a good sugar to eat is apples, right? But don't put it in the juice because all you're getting is the sugar with none of the fiber. You could still get the sweetness of the taste, but see the fiber in the apple is like going to counteract it in the digestive system, all that sugar spike in your bloodstream, right? So that's what you're right. Well, you have all these crazy inventions that kind of like, they seem cool at the time, but they don't have really great results when it introduce a chemical. Out,
like, you know, an apple has 5,000 phytochemicals. Like, where are you going to get that anywhere else? You're not going to take 5,000 supplements, you know, to replace what you can get just in one simple apple. And, you know, the more we learn about these things, the more it's easier to make choices. Because when I'm really frustrated and hungry, you run to the kitchen and you go, okay, stop for a second and make a good choice. Don't just automatically grab. And the nice thing is if you don't have junk in your house, you can't automatically grab it. Like
set yourself up for success.
Yep. Right. Those guardrails that keep us on the road.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. I don't even buy that stuff. It's not even in my house.
Right. Not even in my house. All right. So how can people find out more about you?
Oh, you can go to getwarriortough.com. You know, all my stuff's still up there and, you know, there's tons of videos and free content on. Then, you know, I got the books over to Amazon. It's all on mental toughness and leadership. But it's really, this thing with weight loss, I was going to say, it's really more mental than it is anything else.
It is.
Because if you get your mind right and about who you are and you're at peace with who you are and your identity, you'll make good food choices. Because like you said, the root cause is, why am I eating this sugar? Is it for comfort? Is it anger? Is it stress? Is it, you know,
I really,
really encourage you to just like get your mindset right. And then this will follow instead of just trying to set weight loss goals.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, we'll be back again next week with another great episode.
Thanks for being with us today on Motherhood Talk Radio, starring Sandra Beck. Join us again. We've got something you won't want to miss. Motherhood Talk Radio is a production of Beck Multimedia.